I'm gonna
call the meeting to order. Okay.
We should call you to the order. Is that okay?
Can I get a motion for
second. On both of them, right? We have two meetings last month.
No.
Did we just one?
August 4th?
You're thinking about last month when we had two meetings before.
Oh, alright, yeah.
Or two, two both meetings.
Yeah.
Alright, so just a moment.
Okay, you made the motion?
Second.
You made the second? Okay, let's start with the resolution.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Alright. I need to one of these days.
Okay. What's the I have two guests. First, I want to talk. Tim, you got something you want to do? You want to talk to us about? Finish the birthday update. All right.
5 minutes. Very quickly, this is Julie Ackbar. She's our new special coordinator.
Oh.
Okay. If there's anything, feel free to give her a call. She has business cards to be a nice one. Just a verbal note, she's the head of office legislature from the Southern part of the county of Chicago. Steve Warren is the manager of Green Legislature from Cloverdale, and Mary Morrow, legislator from Swabby. And Krista is the legislature and so forth. Without introduction, we'll put the preliminary budget was approved by the board at the last meeting on the 26th, and copies were sent, actually hand delivered, by the next day, 27th, to the legislature as well, and the tax office.
And what was that number?
The high point of it is the third year in a row, the tipping fee is going to stay the same for 92% of our users, and for the second year in a row, it's going to stay the same for 100% of our users, which is $103 a ton plus the fuel surcharge. So we're not having to increase the tipping fee at all. Our reserves are good. Our projections are that by the end of the year, we should be around 15% of our operating budget, which is right about where we should be. But the State Controller's Office recommends that we should be somewhere between 10 and 20%. Most municipalities, you know, are 6 to 8%. The reason we're higher is because our budget, our two revenue sources streams, which is the recycling and the tipping fees, are directly dependent on the economy. It would be like the county having their entire revenue stream based on sales tax. So because of that, they want to set more reserves than the municipality does. They recommend 10 to 20, and we're shooting at about 15 a year. So that's good news. When we did our budget, our operating budget, if you look at the very bottom line, you'll see a net loss of about $19,000, which is kind of a $13 million budget is as close to zero as you should get. When you do the budget, it should be a zero budget, assuming you have your reserves in play. So if we're off a little bit, we're just going to go back to reserves. If we're in a negative or if we're in a positive, you can add a little more to our reserves, but we're in that 15%, so that should be good. So, financially, it's good.
Well, okay, any questions?
And the towns?
Oh, the towns. We have 14. The board did approve the resolution for the 14 towns.
Mm-hmm.
We have 14 towns that are signed on board. The contracts were sent back actually today. The five that did not sign on were Marlboro, Marbletown, City of Kingston, Saugerties, and Ulster. And to the best of my knowledge, City of Kingston has an overall trust and overall container, so they can take care of themselves. Small transfer station, it's not really used a whole lot. It's right next door to the jail.
Right.
As they know where it is. So they really have their own equipment, so they're really self-sufficient. Marbletown's going to go to a private sector. Marlboro's not sure yet what they're going to do. I just had a phone call with them today. And also, we're going to buy their own truck and their own containers, and they may be doing a shared services with Spaghetti. So I don't know if that's happening.
Okay. Last I heard on that was that Spaghetti hadn't signed on to that yet.
Okay. Oh, they're still thinking. So that's where we
don't crash. I don't know.
Towns recycling revenues are down tremendously, but
the pressure.
All the towns will still participate in recycling and get the same, be treated equally whether they sign agreements or not.
And if you have questions, don't call Merlin at any time. Beginning this week, Merlin and Linda France, who also works for me, will be going to every transfer station, whether or not they're signed on to visit every one of them, to educate them to hand out recycling flyers and decals and so forth, so they know what can be recycled and can't be recycled and so forth. So that also is, I think, very important for the transfer station operators to know who Merlin is and what it takes to the voice and the call.
Okay. Anybody else have anything?
Probably had a question. I'll leave you alone tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming in.
Thanks,
sir. All right. Thank you for providing us the information. Have a great evening. In fact, have a nice weekend.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're looking for Jeremy Cherson.
Hey. Did you come up from Westchester, or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in Westchester.
The office is based out of Austining.
Okay. Let's see if I can figure out who's here. Zero? It'll be a test.
I mean, that's a joke. Thank you.
Pete.
And Richard.
Yeah, Richard's
fine. Man, I have
access.
Yeah, I'm sure she's
very
familiar. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for considering this hearing and resolution on microbeads. I've brought some little samples. Microbeads.
Both of those in the print.
I was going to put them on my Facebook. These are microbeads that you're holding, and they are tiny plastic particles used in cosmetics and personal care products, and even toothpaste, if you can believe it. And they're used as exfoliants. That's their purpose, or supposed purpose. They range in size anywhere from 1 to 5 millimeters. They're designed to be drowned, poured down the drain and enter the wastewater stream. However, most of the wastewater treatment facilities in the state and across the U.S. and even across the world cannot deal with these particles. They end up passing right through the filtration systems into surface waters. 90% of new plastic pollution entering waterways right now are from these plastic microbeads. And in New York, we get about 19 tons of this a year. Mohawk River, Hudson River, Lake Erie. These degrade slowly, like other plastic, styrofoam, but they're also sponges for toxic chemicals. PCBs attach to them, and so do other hydrophobic, meaning chemicals that don't mix with water, attach to these, so flame retardant, DDT, and they have effects on fish populations and other wildlife as those chemicals bioaccumulate and biomagnify up the food chain and can eventually get into fish that people eat, leading to higher concentrations of these contaminants. 18 states in the U.S., Canada, and Australia are considering bans of these plastic microbeads, and some countries in Europe are requesting the EU do a ban on these microbeads. Illinois passed a ban in June. Illinois passed that last year. In May, the California Assembly passed a law banning these microbeads. Similar laws have been proposed in Michigan, Minnesota, Oregon, Washington, but New Jersey, Colorado, Maine, and Wisconsin have passed weaker bans using this loophole called biodegradable microbeads, biodegradable plastics. And I'll explain quickly why that's problematic. The biodegradable loophole makes any of these laws unenforceable because in order for these to biodegrade, you need an industrial composter that is 120 degrees, has the proper pH, and has the proper humidity to get these to break down. But the waters of New York do not meet any of those criteria, and so they act like normal plastics breaking down slowly, collecting the contaminants. It's unclear, even if there was a biodegradable standard, who would determine the standard, and this would provide a prohibitively high burden of proof to prosecute a violator of a microbead ban. The Assembly, the New York Assembly, passed the Microbeads-Free Waters Act by 139-1. And, yeah. Who was born? I don't know.
That's a good question.
Wait.
I think I can.
Is it in there?
No, I have my own.
So the Senate, there were more than enough co-sponsors and votes for it to pass, but they didn't bring it to the floor. And so what we're doing with our partners on Long Island and on the Great Lakes is we've turned to local government to propose bans to get the legislature to act when they come back in January, to get the Senate to move this bill. It's S-3932 and A-5896. And we're also pursuing these local bans to motivate the industry to try and pursue a statewide solution. We also think that these county bans might motivate, if one county passes a ban, some of the big retailers will phase it out in nearby counties in order to not ship multiple products on their routes.
I have one question. Can we do that legally?
Yes, you can, and Erie County has already passed the law, and Suffolk County is actively considering the law right now.
Is it becomes an enforcement issue, and I'm just kind of curious.
Well, we've already got the styrofoam police. We can have the microbe police.
Okay,
good. In all seriousness.
So, you know, I was just going to say that these other counties are a great resource to see how they're going about or thinking about enforcing these bans. Erie County passed it in July, so it's relatively recent. They're probably still figuring it out. And we created model county legislation that is not in the packet, but I brought with me to share if you want. And I just have to say it's not legal advice, but if you're interested, you should consult your legislative council. And it does not have the word biodegradable in it at all, and I'm happy to answer any
questions. Can we see something that has a label?
It's not as much about labeling as it is that these products just they're going into waterways, they're going into the environment. I mean, so it's less a matter of labeling it as basically kind of stopping it from going into the environment. And, you know, we actually modeled ours partly in consultation with Riverkeeper, but also with Erie County. We're somewhat familiar with what they did and what Suffolk is doing right now. But, you know, labeling it isn't really the answer at the end of the day.
No, it's not the answer, but
it's a good thought, but it's just at this point.
Within your packet, there's a recent report from the Attorney General that actually shows how they pass through the wastewater treatment facilities in our region.
And we also have the full packet from the AG's office.
Yeah,
our packet. So in case they really want to get into this.
I know how it works. This has been a discussion up in the assembly. This has been an ongoing discussion. As I understand the, I know how dangerous they are and why they're dangerous. I know that they're trying to get this passed statewide. I'm just curious, on a local level, which is what we're going to be doing, if that is going to have, you know, what type of effect is that going to have? And then I want to make sure that we can leave the zone.
Yeah. Well, Putnam County is considering it as well. We presented to their Environment Council as well, committee. And we're going to be pursuing this in other counties as well. We're hoping that we can get a whole host of Hudson Valley counties to join on.
Now, is this Senator O'Meara head of environmental in the Senate?
Yes.
Because and he, that shouldn't be.
And he introduced actually two bills.
Right. I got
one. Yeah, one that...
He's got 4403A.
Yep.
Schimmel has 49, which is a second bill also. 4924.
And last time I looked, Omar's second bill that contains that industry biodegradable clause, he's the only sponsor of the bill. Whereas the other bill that is supported by a whole range of partners across the state, spanning the state, has more than enough sponsors to pass.
I mean, even Junior Waller voted for, you know, for this bill.
Yeah, Chris Ryan, I don't get that. I'll have to ask him next time I see him.
But even Waller voted for this, Ken.
That's good.
Well, when we were doing the telephone ban, I mean, Dunkin' Donuts corporate Twitter contacted us. And
oh, yeah.
So I'm sure getting corporate attention, you know, they would...
Which is what this would do. No question about it. And the more counties you have doing it, the more movement you're going to see, even on the state level, and possibly even on the federal level.
Yeah, Gillibrand has introduced and is the lead sponsor of the federal bill.
Okay.
But at the moment, that bill doesn't seem to be moving.
There's no way.
And that's not surprising.
Okay. Any questions?
Okay.
Manny, do you have any questions?
No, I totally support this. If I can be added as a sponsor, I'd like to be.
Well, I think we're going to put everybody on the committee. All right, you don't want me on it?
We'll see. We're going to
have to decide. All right, I don't want you on it. I'm chairman. I don't want him on it.
Hey, so, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You're not
only just behind that. I do understand it very much so. And I'm not making light of it.
Absolutely, and when the public hearing happens, I think we will schedule it for October 14th. We will make sure to bring out a lot of people.
I'm just going to voice this. I work for Senator Hyman.
Oh, okay. Well, I live in Deacon. I work in Westchester, but I live in Deacon.
Okay.
I wouldn't where he got that little bag from that had the microbeads.
So let us move along. Next, to the resolution.
This would be considered a first reading. I don't understand.
This is going to be for discussion, but we're not there yet. We have this resolution 318 first, so hold on 1 second.
This is the one that Pete, you had the issue with last month. I'll move for discussion 318.
The parcel in front of us.
318, yeah. And just so that everybody knows, I did reach out to Paul Hanson, because I'll be honest, I'm not big on making a lot of land for a while, because forever is a long time. But I had a conversation with him. He, in turn, spoke to... Yeah.
Redlips?
Her. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got a...
Sorry.
My brain was... He spoke with her, but her called me today. And he explained that, you know, what Paul thought, what he thought. So I said, okay, fine, we'll move it if we don't.
It's on Chattahoochee Lake, isn't it?
It's across from Chattahoochee, the facility. It's right on Chattahoochee Lake. Part of it, he said it might even be landlocked. I don't know.
Okay.
At one point, there was somebody that took ownership. They did some logging there. And there was an issue with the Chattahoochee facility, and then...
Yeah.
And then they walked away from it, creating what we have now. But if Lloyd has no issue with it, then I have no issue with it.
Okay.
And it's up to you.
I said it was moved by Kevin, seconded by...
Yes.
Me. Okay, fine. One of us.
Okay.
Dealer's choice.
Right. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Gary, any questions? Any questions?
No, I haven't formulated any yet, but I don't.
Okay. Can you anything else you want to say?
On 318?
318. All right.
You didn't ask me, but that's okay, though.
I don't want to hear about you.
I know. It's on the case.
Just so you know, there are maps in your...
Resolution 325.
Oh, I want to move this.
Yeah, but we want to move it too, Ken.
Can I at least read it? Setting a public hearing on the proposed local law number 14 of 2015, prohibiting the sale of personal care products containing microbeads in Ulster County.
Move by legislator Brown.
Seconded by?
Rodriguez, sure.
Okay. Discussion?
Anybody else?
Okay, Ken, what do you got? I'd like to go to the definition section. It defines a person as any natural person, individual, corporation, unincorporated association, proprietorship firm, partnership, joint venture, joint stock association, or any other entity or business organization of any kind. And when you go to violate penalties, any person who violates any portion of this law shall be liable for a civil penalty not to exceed $2,500. So some poor store clerk sells somebody something that contains microbeads, and we're going to put them up for a fine of $2,500? That seems ridiculous. That's issue number one.
Okay.
Issue number two. This is going to be, these things aren't labeled, from what I understand, right? Not everything that has microbeads is labeled. So the local law shall be enforced by the county through the Department of Weights and Measures. Are we going to send John DeGasperis to some sort of a school or a place of higher learning or an institution of any kind of learning to help him understand how to see microbeads? Are we going to build a lab for him over?
There's
an app for that, yeah. Are we going to build a lab for John over at Weights and Measures so he can bring some, toothpaste back to the lab to find out if it has microbeads in it? That's number two. And number three, I think that something of this nature should be done at the state level, not at the local level. I think that it's gonna be confusing for the companies, especially franchises that have multiple locations in different counties. they can't carry a certain type of toothpaste in Highland, but they can carry it in Poughkeepsie. They can carry it in Walden, but not in Modena. Okay. And I guess finally, the fourth comment I'll make is that in the last committee meeting, we decided, they decided as a committee, I'm not on that committee, but they decided that we can't have a policy on the electric vehicle charging stations because it's too soon to have a policy on it, even though the damn things are already built all over the county without a policy. But we can have a policy on microbeads when none of us is a hydrologist or a scientist of any kind. We can have a policy on banning microbeads. We can have a policy on the use of our own machines. There, done.
You done?
So, Ken, I'm really sorry. Whatever happened from your last committee meeting, if you need to have some therapy, by the way, maybe we can arrange for, you know, for a counselor for you, or if you want to just have a beer, maybe
if I'm looking for therapy, I'm not coming to you.
I should have a lot of anger. I don't know why.
Well, serving on the legislature is like therapy.
That's after. I
should be one of the bone jobs.
For you, it's therapy, but
step one. It already is one of the 12 steps. It's step one.
Alright. So, number one, Ken.
Yes, sir.
It's a business that maybe we can begin to get comments. And I will go and look into the hypothetical of the store clerk with regards to your...
You don't have to look into it. It's right there.
I'm just saying.
A person is defined here, doesn't it? Transfer to person in the back?
Yeah, person means any natural human.
No, but I mean, it says here, under definition, it says person.
One at a time.
Okay. Sorry.
Yes. Okay. But, please,
yes, sir.
Hey, we're looking to make sure that the poor store clerk doesn't have to go pay a $2,500 fine. Okay? With regards to we, I don't believe John's going to be the lad to go and find out what has microbeads and what doesn't. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm not really seeing that as being a major pivot. But it was super funny though.
Well, I'll be the lad.
No, there's already been identified tons of products that have microbeads in them. I mean, there's a whole website dedicated to this. I actually found out my toothpaste that had microbeads in it. I throw it out. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's what do you think? Thankfully, I don't have any skin cream, so it doesn't really matter. But, that said, if it's in skin creams, it's in this. It's in a ton of products, Ken.
Sorry, when you said I don't have any skin cream, I just imagined you putting on skin cream, and it made me laugh. So, go on. That's all.
Okay, then. you're in rare form tonight there, Ken. So we don't need to go and send John, to go and get him a lab so we can go analyze.
I think if we're going to enforce the law, we should enforce the law.
So, with regards to the fact that whether it's banned in Ulster or whether it's banned in Dutchess, you're already having that now where you got something banning it. So you have Nassau, it'll be legal in Nassau and illegal in...
Two wrongs don't make a right, Hector.
No, that's not what I'm getting at, but that's what happens when you're doing it county by county.
Which is
right now, do you see the state moving on this? No.
Maybe.
So
they pass
the assembly by like
150
feet.
Oh, yeah,
exactly.
This is
what we
don't
know
and
void.
But the counties can
tip
the scale.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Bottom line is it shows that we oppose the use of microgreens. And that's what the intent
is.
I do care about people. I care about the poor store clerk. It's going to be sent through the ringer. It's terrible.
If you don't know, I actually dedicate both of my attention, both of my comments to your store clerk, but others, not so much. But
you win some, you lose some.
Exactly.
I'm going to lose this one. It's okay.
That's okay, though. But here's the thing. But I will, and actually I more than welcome, any assistance if you have Erica or you or whoever to go and help you make sure that we protect the poor store clerk. Okay?
I think it would be pretty easy, that a person
will not apply to, you know, individual employees of said corporation, but said corporation itself. I mean, so we'll, something like that. We'll figure it out. But we'll
figure it out. So
I'll be voting no, but I can always help make it better. So everyone else, when you want to, you know, put unnecessary restrictions and impediments on businesses here in Ulster County, just have people shop elsewhere. That's fine. This is a local law. You should be voting against it. It's a local law. You don't like local laws.
It affects people outside of employees. Yours just affected employees.
Actually, it just affected the county executive. I didn't know the county executive was one of our employees.
You can do
it.
So, anyway, where are we at now? Tammy, do you have something you wanted to say?
I wanted to say there is a difference between this and the previous discussion in that these are already doing them, and it's very well documented.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if folks know, but we're having a very hard time getting the extra PCB cleanup, which means that stuff is going to be in the water longer than we had hoped. So we hope we have, you know, some legal means to change that. But the microbes are accelerating the bioaccumulation of PCBs in our waterways. So it's just a point I don't think that necessarily Jeremy made, but it's a real concern. And people are eating the fish.
Yeah. Trees are eating the microbes.
Yeah. But
that
has
leaks
with
PCB.
Just
more
roughage.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. All right.
I'll say, do you want me to go ahead and postpone this for another month, and that way then I can go through it?
I'll make that motion.
I think I still have the floor.
Oh, excuse me.
So, at this time, Mr. Jack, I'll just postpone this till our next meeting in October.
Anybody have that? Mary can second it.
So,
okay. All in favor?
Okay.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Sorry.
I am the right form tonight. I apologize.
But,
you know, rare things are valuable, so.
That's it.
That's it.
No,
oh,
no, update.
New business. That's what happened yesterday. I meant for resolutions. New business.
That failed in the last committee.
Any new business? Any old business?
I got a little piece of new business. I think we should talk about the electronic vehicle charging stations, even though it failed in the other committee. Are you okay?
What's the flavor of the committee?
I'm fine with
it. Yeah?
Well, people felt, to the folks who weren't there, people felt that it was premature, that we should get data, that we should understand the impact, and I think that's why it's been
there. Yeah. So,
go ahead, Ken. Thanks. The fact that people can have a straight face on and argue that it's premature to have a policy over the use of electric vehicle charging stations that are already in use is so crazy to me that it borders on the absurd. I don't know what data we need before we have a policy to govern things that we are already offering to the general public for use for free. It's so troubling to me. This legislature just lets the county executive do whatever he wants, whenever he wants to. Last month,
this is about more years with the county executive.
That's what it is, because the county executive put these things out there with no legislative oversight, and I'm allowed to have my opinion. Is this still America or what?
I don't want to get into this in committee meeting to discuss the issue. Now your personal opinions about county jail.
Then I'll quit the committee then.
That's up to you. Okay.
Ridiculous. What this legislature is coming to is just awful.
Okay. So, I'm going to admit that I read it very quickly before.
Fair enough.
So, I'm rereading it now again.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Why don't you just explain to me, I get the sense that we might have a policy, but what are we redressing by setting up this policy?
By setting up this policy, right now, two people who don't have electric cars can park in those two spots, and people who come here as part of some sort of a great grand tourist attraction that we're going to bring people into the county to charge their electric vehicles, they won't be able to charge their electric vehicles because right now anybody can park there. It's just parking spots and they've got electric in front of them. Mm-hmm. I think, and I think the chairman thinks as well, that if we're going to have electric vehicle charging station spots, they should only be for electric vehicles.
Should be dedicated to that.
They should be dedicated to that. So if somebody comes here to charge their car, they should be able to charge their car. Now, what I heard from Legislator Archer was, well, you can charge it two spots over. Well, that's great. What happens if the two spots next to those spots are also filled with non-electric vehicles? What happens if can I pull my car in behind there and just plug it in and the people who are in the spots are SOL? No, I can't do that. I'll get a ticket. So if I come here to charge my car, I can't charge it. Second off, you know, if somebody comes to charge their car, takes less than an hour to charge, then those spots, and the people are here for the day or for 3 or 4 hours, the spots are tied up for 3 or 4 hours, two or three more cars could have charged in that time. And I'm open to suggestion. I know the chairman's open to suggestion on this if somebody thinks that we should put something different in there. But I think it's asinine to not have a policy and to say that the reason that we don't have a policy is it's premature to have a policy when the spots are there and the electric is in use.
The policy could always be updated as long as you have a policy. If you have more information. But it does make sense. We have dedicated handicap spots. Why would you not dedicate it? If you're going to put the money into the charging stations, I don't understand that.
There's a question also about, I mean, it's not just the electric parking spots. I mean, truthfully, we should address the whole idea of parking.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not sufficient parking for people as it is. And the other part of this discussion is people come in and park during the day, don't even use this building.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, they go to use other buildings. So this is just a part, one little part of the whole parking problem. So if you're going to do a policy, you should do a policy on all the parking.
But this isn't about parking, Pete. This is about the use of electronic vehicle charging stations.
Which involves parking.
Well, just two spots here.
Well, so what? But the chairman was also talking about getting rid of the spots for the executive.
That's separate. We're only talking about this, Pete. We're not here to talk about personal opinions on separate issues.
That wasn't a personal opinion. That was a fact. That's not an opinion.
Well, you're talking about your opinion on a different issue.
What I'm saying to you is this should incorporate all of the parking, not just your little portion of it. Two spots
is in my portion. I'm not wealthy enough to own a electric vehicle, so I would not be privy to these. I would not be allowed to use these spots.
My point is, if you're going to address parking, address parking.
These people are getting free stuff, not me. That's not my little issue.
Free? Well, that's your. Once again, you're going after this because it's a pet peeve of yours.
I'm not going after this. I'm going after this.
It's illegal.
It is
illegal. Okay, but if the bottom line is if we're going to address parking, let's address all of it. Not just electric cars. Let's address people that are parking here and going in at 8 o'clock in the morning and leaving at 10 o'clock at night and don't even use this building.
Well, and also, you get your ticket and you just wait till the booth closes.
If you wait till the booth closes, you're gone.
Right.
So let's address the whole issue, not just this part of it. If you want to address parking, let's address parking. That's my point. It's premature. I think it's premature. I really do.
You think one of two things. You either think it's premature, which is one issue, and again, I find
it. You never address parking. That's the point.
Well, but the second half is, you know, you think it should be done as a comprehensive package of all parking.
I do.
But that doesn't mean it's premature.
Yes, it does. You don't have the information. Yes, it does.
What information don't we have, Pete?
You don't know who's utilizing the facility. Who's utilizing the
people who own electric vehicles.
That's
will utilize it.
Okay. That's just that your little part of the argument. You don't know who's using the parking facility itself. We don't even have sufficient parking for all of the employees. We don't have sufficient parking for people that want to come in and use the building, use the services. And you want to address, well, you got some parking spots here. Let me see what that's going to be like.
I don't believe that is what we're, I don't believe that is what's happening, Pete.
Okay, that's up to you. I don't agree with you on this. Go ahead.
Okay. Given the fact that this is not an active agenda,
right.
I don't want to go too far down this road, but clearly there also should have been some pull-up about where these charging stations were going to be placed.
Mm-hmm.
If this was going to become problematic of taking up two spots and now we have to go figure out how to go and, you know, accommodate those vehicles. So clearly we do need to go find out. I'm not trying to say, by the way, that I'm against the policy, but I'm just saying one thing that we go figure out, though, and I probably would argue the one thing that they actually do have a point on, or not they, but whoever, how many people actually are using it, and is that the best place to go and have those
that's it's too late, though.
No, I, well.
Well,
you can't.
They're the ones now, but.
Well, there sure, you can, but you're talking quite a sum of money.
It's
conduit, it's electrician's work, it's a lot of work to put these things in. So, again.
Do you think they
have the DPW
do it? Yeah, but you need electricians to do it. You know, you're not gonna have a laborer. You know,
but. I was going to say, at a certain point, I thought DPW usually put them in, and it was actually, I thought most of the cost actually...
That was the county cost. That was the county match on the grant that we got. And again, a lot of people don't know anything about this because, once again, it's something that should have been a policy of the legislature in the first place that wasn't, and we just allow it to happen. And then after we allow it to happen, we say, oh, it's really not our place to make a policy. It's really premature to make a policy on that. That's you know.
The reason I say it's premature is I have an electric vehicle, and I'm still figuring it out. I can't... You know, it took me however long that's been hooked up there until recently. I can now use it easily. I have the charge point. I know what to do. But then I go to another charging station, and the rules are different. And so in here you don't get penalized if you're in a meeting and, you know, maybe after a certain number of hours you should. So those are the kinds of details. You know,
it takes several hours, I thought, those charge up the vehicle itself.
Oh, I was told in the last meeting it's less than an hour.
It's about an hour, but, you know, then if I'm in the middle of a session, I have to run down where, if I can wait till session's over. Those are the kinds of details I can't even figure out. So that's what, as far as not having other people park in those spots or not having people abuse the spots, I do think we need a policy, but I do think we need more data, and also the whole issue of, you know, the idea, and I know you think it's an illegal gift, and maybe we can find out whether it is or isn't, but the fact that it costs so little to have a charge, and that if we were to start charging, and that's not specified in here, it just says any fee, you know, if there is one, but it doesn't specify a fee.
Correct.
If it's going to cost more to the county to pay, to process, to collect 45 cents, and it's going to cost, you know, a dollar or whatever it costs every time you use your credit card, or in this case, the charge point card, it does, and having it available for free really is attracting tourism. That's why I want to see some data. And believe me, if I'm just figuring it out and it applies to me directly, then I think other legislators who, you know, don't have the direct experience should have the benefit of hearing how it's working for the people who are actually using it.
Well,
and
again, I mean, I think that the charging is a non-issue. It says any fee may, that, you know, any fees
you know, charged to a non-blah-blah-blah. County may also deem it appropriate to charge for the use of the electric supply at the charging stations. The county may. So we're leaving it open for the county executive, but to your point, I do think it's an illegal gift. It screams illegal gift to me. Somebody is getting a benefit that the rest of the general public are not allowed to have, and the county taxpayers, however small they're paying, and however small the fee is, are paying for it. That having been said, I understand the financial aspects of it, and I've given up on that argument. I'm not gonna make any headway, and I'm not looking to cost the county more money to have these things in use. That having been said, we wanted to put something into the policy so the policy can be a living document in the future. If that changes and all of a sudden it's more expensive and we want to start charging for it, or the things are outrageously in demand and it's a possible revenue for the county and it will benefit the people too, because 45 cents worth of gas, 45 cents worth of electric is way cheaper than 15 miles worth of gas. So, you know, we wanted to put that in there to give the county executive the authority in the future to charge if it's deemed appropriate. So there's no charge right now for it, and we don't, you know, desire to put one in. I wanted to talk about this because I'm certain that we're going to get a fully executed petition to discharge, and it'll be on the agenda at this month's meeting. So I thought it's prudent to have this committee talk about it this month.
I also get a green pass for the thruway. I get a discount because they're trying to incentivize electric vehicles, because ultimately that's the way to get us off our dependence on, one of the ways to get us off our dependence on.
And under the law, a discount's different than a gift. Everybody who has an easy pass gets a discount over people who use the toll collection lanes because it's cheaper for the state.
But not everybody is entitled to the green pass. You have to have...
Only the vehicle. I understand.
Okay.
Okay.
Move to adjourn. Do you want to do any updates? Somebody else? You all right?
Second motion to adjourn.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Have a good day.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What does it cost for fossil fuel to have the electricity? We know it doesn't come cheap.
Yeah.
The fossil fuels. I think it has... Anybody done a study?
Amanda has, actually. Amanda was out.